presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind 12 feet. Ceiling 1,200. All clear.
Okay. This is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
I've been talking quite a bit about big horsepower jobs and jet planes. As in most fields, it's the same with aviation. The big fellows get the write-ups. The 4- and 6-engine commercial planes and bombers, the combat fighters, and the new super jet planes that are trying to crack the supersonic speed wall. But how about the colorful job being done by small planes? There are 4,000 small planes around Los Angeles, and one of them is a Fairchild 24, 1941 model. There's nothing special about it, you would think, but actually there is. It's a flying prowl car. That's right, it belongs to the sheriff's office. And just as we have radio prowl cars on the ground, the Fairchild does the same job aloft. In the regular run of police work, the flying cops have tagged many a flyer for reckless driving. Last year alone, over 100 convictions were pinned on flyers for buzzing. And that's just part of the job. Rimming the Los Angeles Valley are the rugged San Gabriel Mountains, and pilot Sewell Grigger spends a good deal of his time on search and rescue missions. As a regular chore, he flies a weekend patrol up and down the 80-mile coastline in his area. That's when he picks up most of the buzzers, and only one of them, so charged, has been acquitted. Since the plane is loaded with radio equipment for any and all types of work, the Fairchild often is called on to help in forest fires. Forestry officials often ride the sheriff's plane during such fires. From their high position, they are better able to direct the firefighting and supervise the men on the ground. More later, so don't forget to listen. And now for our story. Hop and Tank, summoned to a secret underground plant in the Black Mesa of Oklahoma by Major McCall, were there less than an hour when a deadly attempt was made on their lives by suffocation. They managed to escape, however, from a smoke-filled chamber into the clear, fresh air of the entrance tunnel, and as they stood there, choking and gasping for breath, they were conscious of a dim figure at the other end of the passageway. Suddenly it turned and disappeared around a corner. Not before the boys were certain it was wearing green coveralls. Giving chase, they entered one of the large assembly hangars where all the workers had gathered in answer to a fire alarm. And standing near a partly finished plane was a man wearing green coveralls. The only person so outfitted in the entire hangar.
That's Simon Gore, the man who designed the new plane.
What?
I don't care who he is, Major. He locked us in that room and I'm going to rip him apart.
Hank, stand where you are.
But he'll get away.
Hank, look at him. He's working on the plane. He isn't trying to escape.
Major, he's the only one in this whole place wearing green coveralls. And you said yourself, whoever locked us up must have come in here.
I know. But he's the designer of the flying wing, I tell you. He couldn't have tried to kill us.
Well, what can I do for you, Major?
No thanks, Sergeant. See the men go back to work. And take care of the fire and that ventilator.
I already sent the crew down there, sir.
Good.
Major, you might ask the sergeant to check the fire indicator board, find out why the position of the fire didn't register.
You got that, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
All right, and that's all for now.
Very good.
Hey, listen, what are we going to do about that guy in the green coveralls?
Simon Gore? I'm going to take you over to him right now and introduce you.
Fine. Hey, what's that?
Oh, that's the all-clear signal.
Let's step it up, then, or we'll lose Gore.
Hank, I told you before, he's not trying to escape.
I still
think... Relax, fella. We may both be jumping to conclusions.
Oh, like fun, will you?
And when we're introduced, don't tip your mitt.
Okay.
Oh, Mr. Gore. Mr. Gore.
Yes? Oh, it's you, Major. What in the world has happened to you?
Huh? Oh, we were tangled up in that fire.
You mean there really was a fire? I thought it was a false alarm.
Yeah, some false alarm.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, Mr. Gore, I'd like you to meet Hop Harrigan.
Mr. Gore?
And Tank Tinker.
Hi.
I've spoken to you about them.
Oh, yes, of course. Harrigan and Tinker. Glad to meet you, gentlemen. I've heard a lot about you. All to the good, I may add.
Oh, thanks.
But frankly, Major, I thought... I thought we had decided we didn't need their services.
You did, Mr. Gore. But since the crash this morning... I've changed my mind.
Oh, well, of course, that's your privilege, since you are the liaison officer for the Army.
Mr. Gore, if you don't mind my asking, am I to understand that you don't believe in the Wailing Witch?
Come now, Harrigan, surely you haven't been taken in by this, with all due respect, Major, this fairy tale?
I wasn't referring to the Wailing Witch literally, sir. I meant sabotage.
Oh, I see. No, Mr. Harrigan, I don't believe it's sabotage.
What about the pilots who were killed?
You've already shown them the films, eh, Major?
Yes.
Mr. Harrigan, I can only say that Well, strange things happen when aircraft reach the sonic barrier. As you probably know, it's never been penetrated. My flying wing is designed to do the job. Naturally, we're going to run into certain problems which may seem, well, out of the ordinary. Even supernatural, perhaps. But there must be a cold scientific reason behind it all.
I'm glad to hear you say that, sir. That's what I believe. But the catch is the reason.
And that's why Hop and Tank are here, Mr. Gore, to find that reason.
I see. Very well, gentlemen, where would you like to begin? Can I show you the flying wing? This test model here is the latest...
Major McCall's already shown us the plastic mock-up. I'd like to have a look at the wreckage of one that crashed.
Very well. It's in another section of the plant. I'll take you.
Thanks.
Excuse me just a moment, though. I must leave some instructions first.
Oh, go right ahead.
Be with you in a moment. Oh, Mac. Mac.
Well, what do you think of him, huh?
He seems like a very well-educated man.
He talks too fancy to suit me.
He's a brilliant designer, huh? And if this plane lives up to expectations, he'll have advanced aviation 10 years.
Yeah, from the way he's acting, he's shoving it back 10 years.
Hank, you still don't think that he locked us up?
You're doggone right I do. I was watching him close, and he's got a black smudge around the back of his neck, on both sides, under his ears.
So?
Well, I ain't saying I'm Sherlock Holmes, Major, but whoever kept us locked down there got a big dose of smoke himself. He'd have had to wipe it off himself.
He might have missed the back. I think he's coming back.
All right, gentlemen, I'm ready now. Sorry I was so long, but sometimes Max is a little slow.
Max?
Max Kell, my personal mechanic. Been with me for a long time. Well, now, you wanted to see the wreckage, eh? This way, please. Mr. Gore, when do you think the next model will be ready for testing?
Oh, another day or so, Major. We've been working pretty fast. The fourth model is now undergoing wind tunnel tests, and the fifth is that one there, on the line.
Wind tunnel tests on a full-size ship?
Oh, yes, Mr. Harrigan. The government did a good job on this plant. It's equipped with every possible testing device. I was lucky to be able to buy it.
Must have cost a pile of dough.
It did, Tinker. Fortunately, I have some friends who believe in my work. They've helped me financially. But if the flying wing fails, I'll have a hard time paying them back.
Well, I'd like to see the ship that's being tested now.
Of course. I'd be glad to show you everything, Harrigan. This way, please. After you, Major.
Thanks.
Go on, Tank.
Yeah.
Major McCall. Major McCall.
Hold up, Tank. Huh? It's the sergeant we were talking to a little while ago.
See, didn't the Major go this way?
Yes, he's with Mr. Gore.
Oh, well, look, I can't leave my post. Will you ask him to call me when he gets a chance?
Well, sure thing. Can I give him a message?
Yeah, well, I suppose so, seeing as you were mixed up in the fire.
Oh, what about it? Did the crew put it out?
Oh, yeah, they got it okay. They found a bunch of oil-soaked rags jammed in that ventilator system leading down to that chamber you was in.
Uh-huh.
And,
Well, anything else?
Well, we checked the fire indicator panel, like you said, sir.
Well?
Two of the wires was cut. The wire to the light indicator for that section of the plant.
Boy, you hit it right on the head, Hop.
Who has access to that panel, Sergeant?
Oh, well, let's see. Oh, yeah, some of the foreman and Mr. Gore.
Okay, Sergeant, thanks. And don't mention this to anyone else, will you?
No, I won't.
I'll tell the Major, and he'll probably get in touch with you later.
Okay, sir. I'll be on duty another 2 hours.
Right. Let's go, Tank. See the Major?
Yeah, him and Gore are way up ahead.
Oh, step it up.
Hop.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
About what?
What the Sergeant told you.
Pass it on to the Major when I get the chance.
Aren't you going to ask Gore how he got a dirty neck?
Not yet. We don't have enough facts to go on.
You kidding? We see a guy in green coveralls. Gore is wearing green coveralls. The wires in the panel was cut, and we find out Gore could have cut him. Brother, if that ain't enough to hang him, I don't know what is.
His chin jutting out belligerently, Tank makes a sweeping accusation. But Hawk remains silent and maintains his rapid pace down the narrow, dimly lit passageway. Gang, the climax of today's episode is startling, so stand by. At the beginning of Hop Harrigan, we were talking about the flying prowl plane of the Los Angeles Sheriff's Office. Pilot of the plane, a Fairchild 24, is Sewell Griggers. The Fairchild's a 1941 two-place model. Usually, the back seat is crowded with 120 pounds of radio gear necessary to the special work being done by Griggers. There is a two-way CAA set and a forestry transreceiver. Life jackets, signal packs, and water and food rations all go into the plane so that Griggers is set for emergencies of almost any kind. It's not easy flying, either. Griggers is on search and fire missions a good deal of the time, and that means getting down low over those San Gabriel Mountains. A forced landing under those circumstances is almost certain to mean a completely washed-out plane. Griggers, in addition to his Fairchild, commands a squadron of volunteer flyers who own their own small planes. These flyers operate under his command during emergencies. During one forest fire, for example, Grigger supervised his planes entirely by radio, directing them into position for their drops. Oh, and those drops were rough. The flyers had to go down through a canyon with room for only one plane at a time. And that's the kind of a job only a small plane could do. Isn't it something when private flyers join in that kind of voluntary work? Incidentally, Griggers gets plenty of backing in his campaign to tag reckless flyers. Old-timers and those who respect aviation rules know that the buzz flyer only gives flying a bad name. It may not be long before most cities will have their own flying cops, and that's one job the small plane does well. Always something new, something interesting in aviation. Fellas and girls, always remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. Rejoining Major McCall and Simon Gore, the designer of the new plane, Hoff and Tank said nothing of the sergeant's report of sabotage, and, politely ignoring the major's questioning glances, paid close attention as Gore led them into a small workshop just off the tunnel.
And here's what's left of the ship that crashed this morning. We were luckier today. Most of the wreckage fell in a small area. Easy to find.
Wow, what a mess.
Hardly know it was once a plane, would you?
It looks as though the ship disintegrated in midair.
I've had most of the parts labeled, those we could recognize at any rate. Here are the twin jet tubes, and here's what's left of the jet themselves.
Uh-huh.
The door, the cockpit section, is missing.
Half of it, Major. The other half is in the next room.
Oh.
I was checking it a little while ago before the fire alarm interrupted me.
Oh, you were in here when the alarm went off?
Yes.
Then where did you go? After you heard the alarm, I mean.
Well, out to the main assembly hangar, of course. That's where we're all supposed to go.
Is that the passageway you used, the one we came through?
Yes, as far as I can remember.
It wasn't so long ago, Mr. Gore.
Oh, of course not, but I do have many things on my mind. I know I was very much annoyed when that alarm went off. I didn't want to be interrupted.
Well, could you have gone to the main assembly hangar any other way?
Oh, yes, there are several tunnels through here. You'll be amazed by this place, Harrigan, once you get to know your way around. It's a regular Chinese puzzle. I've been lost more than once.
Yeah, I bet.
Why don't you show the boys the cockpit section, Gore? I think they'd be interested.
Oh, gladly. This way, please.
Pop, you're on the wrong track.
I'm only trying to collect facts, sir.
It's in this room. I had it brought in here, you see, because there's more test equipment available. No.
Different jetty's hot. You see what I see?
Yes. Another pair of green coveralls. Worn by a girl.
Her raven black hair bound tightly around her head by a protective net, the girl, wearing coveralls startlingly similar to Simon Gore's, continues her work and then, conscious of the boy's stare, looks up at them, her dark eyes gleaming a hidden challenge. Her features are stained and smudged black also. So now Hop and Tank are faced with another suspect. Gang, the mystery of the Wailing Witches grows stranger and more deadly with each episode. So don't miss the next, number 5. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan. Airwaves. Hop. Same time. Same station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.